Hello and welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Bridges, the only podcast still made from 99% real sausages. This is the official podcast of the Gentlemen's Lunchtime Association. Visit lunchtime.org.uk for live streaming video featuring these people and more. You'll have to excuse me because my computer's frozen and I'm probably going to disappear in a second. With us today we have Boigers.
Hello.
And Dodds.
Hey there.
I'm Happy Man. He disappeared for a second there. Yeah, I'm Happy Man. Hello. And we have Juju.
Juju doesn't get an introduction.
There we go. It's
fine. And Wan Wan.
Juju.
Hello.
And Wan Wan.
Hello.
Oh, that voice.
Oh, God, that voice.
Sexy voice.
Change my pants. Hold on.
As we have for the last 9 episodes, because we've been going for 10 episodes now, we're going to start with news that has happened this month, which is basically events that have transpired that are worthy of people thinking about and considering their effect on their day-to-day lives. I have some notes here, which I'm going to read out. Namco Bandai's excitable community manager, Tony Shapinu, expressed interest in a petition, or petition bureau, called Dark Souls for PC. The petition's got 82,500 signatures, but Namco Bandai hasn't made an official statement yet. They sort of informally said, oh, we might be interested. I'm a complete sucker for anything with, like, Metroidvania elements. I've got a PS3. I haven't picked Dark Souls up yet. I really should have. And I think it would probably push me over the edge, and I'd have to buy it if it came out on PC. Do you guys think that PC needs more action-adventure-type games, like Dark Souls?
I haven't played Demon's Souls or Dark Souls, but I'd like to. Why not? I think they should go for it. I'd play it, I'd buy it.
Oh good god, the modding community would have a firestorm over it.
Oh my god. That would be fantastic.
See, I've been told that Dark Souls and Demon's Souls are very different, which is why I have no opinion on Dark Souls, but I did play Demon's Souls, and I broke a controller almost.
Well, the PC community laps that sort of stuff up, doesn't it? Like, you know, oh, this game, the whole point of this game is that it's really, really hard. People would be all over that. But I notice a lot of developers just don't release action-adventure games on the PC because they think that it's not the PC's genre. I think the only one I can remember recently is that horrible game where you're the guy with a really tiny head and it's sort of like a rip-off of Zelda. Forget what they call it.
Darksiders?
Yeah, that's the one.
There's a sequel coming out, isn't there?
Darksiders 2, strangely enough.
Weird name.
I never understood.
It's dark-sided. Alright, yeah. So moving on. Are we moving on?
You edit out all the awkward silences in podcasts. It's great.
I thought you were going to keep talking.
Oh, right.
It's podcast
there's a little
magic.
Button that you can push. It says add label at playback position. It just adds a little label, so I go back and listen to that. this bit sucks. I'm going to get rid of that. Irrational Games, right, have revealed that Bioshock Infinite, which actually looks rather good, will have a 1999 mode that tunes the levels of resources, health, effectiveness of upgrading your character, essentially aiming to put the difficulty on par with games like System Shock 2. Director of creativity Ken Levine says, and I'm quoting here, "You're not going to be able to be a jack of all trades, much like in games we've done before. If you're going in one direction, like one weapon or a certain type of vigor, that's going to come at the expense of other weapons and other vigors." Now, one of the number one complaints I've heard about Bioshock is that it was way too easy. And do you think something like this could potentially shut up those people who are saying it was too easy such that they can just enjoy the game?
The thing is with Bioshock is that it's that you can't really... There's no repercussion for dying. You just reappear. Even, like, enemies have the same health. You don't come back from an earlier point in the game. you literally come back. Like, even bosses, if you do damage to a boss and then die and come back, the boss will be at low health still.
Yeah, I was, at one point, I was just like, fuck this, and I just kept respawning, just kept running up to the same guy, just kept hitting him with my wrench.
I think most of the game for me was beaten just using the wrench, because wrenches are fun.
Fun fact, my brother played through half of Mass Effect 1 only using a pistol, because he didn't realise you could get other weapons.
Get other weapons in Mass Effect?
See, I'm sort of wondering how many people are just going to play this mode for the achievement rather than going, oh man, I want a challenge.
What, you mean like that achievement in Deus Ex Human Revolution? There'll be achievements for it. It's like Deus Ex Human Revolution having the difficulty level Deus Ex, isn't it? It's the exact same thing. It's people who are making games that started with their roots on the PC, and they're trying to win back PC diehards now, even though they're releasing their games sort of with a few tweaks to make them more familiar for consoles.
I think you mean casualized.
I'm not going to say casualized.
That's improper.
I don't have a problem with Bioshock's easiness, to be honest. And not just because I'm completely shit at video games. I should probably justify this now. I didn't play Bioshock in order to be challenged by it. I played it because I loved like the theme of it, and I loved the music, and I loved the atmosphere, and I loved the story, and I thought the dialogue was great, and it was some of the best game writing that I'd seen in absolutely ages. But I thought it was enjoyable even without the challenge, and I'm not one of those people who thinks that every video game ever has to be challenging in order to be fun. Some are just like a roller coaster, you know, you're not trying anything, you're not attempting to do anything on a roller coaster, but it's still fun, isn't it?
No, I mean, I'm also terrible with video games, as those who have watched my streams know, but it's easy in the wrong way, I think. I mean, there should still be a repercussion for dying. It's okay if you're like a powerhouse just killing absolutely everybody, but if you die, you should still, you know, die, I think.
I don't know if I run into that, because I don't think I actually died at any point while playing Bioshock.
I did.
I didn't even finish it. I got to the big plot twist halfway through and stopped playing. I was like, oh, I'll pick this back up. And he tells me to pick up the radio. I'm just like, fuck you, I'm not falling for this shit, and just stop playing.
I played it on the Xbox, actually. This was back when I had a flashed Xbox, and I, you know, burned the game. I pirated it. And there was something wrong. Yeah, there was something wrong with it, because I got to Sander Cohen, and I could not continue the game. It would not let me trigger an event that should be happening. And I checked several guides. There was nothing I was doing wrong. It just wouldn't, like, the game would not progress.
I mean, you haven't gotten Big Twist in Bioshock.
No, but I know what it is, because I go on V.
Oh, yes, you got
every game gets spoiled for me.
It's been out for ages. I don't think it's unfair for people just to casually talk about it.
There's no point in trying to spoil video games on the internet. It's ridiculous, because, like, people go online, they're like, you know, oh, I'm totally going to spoil this video game. Halo dies at the end. And actually, all it does is make people who want to play the game buy it as soon as possible and finish it as soon as possible, instead of maybe waiting around for it until it's half price, because they don't want to get it spoiled. So you get these people who think that they're going to ruin everyone's video game experience, when actually they're just sort of ensuring that more copies of this game get sold. I mean, I bought Skyward Sword quite early, just because I wanted to be able to talk about it with people. I didn't want to get it spoiled. If not, I might have waited for sort of 6 months and picked it up on the cheap. I don't know.
Okay. I remember when Portal 2 just came out. Oh, Melancius came into the stream and just came in and just revealed the big, big plot twist.
It's really a twist.
Wow. I've kind of played Portal 2, so I don't know. But yeah, everyone got so mad at him.
Yeah, there was a shitstorm over that.
They're
I remember
pulling out pitchforks and everything.
Yeah, good old lynch mobs.
Speaking of Skyward Sword, I'm still at the third temple. Like, I have not played it at all. I've just been watching terrible anime. That's what I've been doing.
Oh, crazy! I'm stuck at the third temple too.
Now, I'm not stuck. I just have not been playing for unknown reason. I love the game. I just... I don't know. I should play it.
The Third Temple is really good. It's like it's probably either my favorite or my second favorite in the game. I have got one temple left to do. But all you need to know is after the fourth or fifth temple, things just get really, really boring.
Oh, you revisit areas, right? I think I remember reading that.
You revisit areas over and over, and you'll never do anything other than running around and collecting meaningless things in order to pass some sort of trial. Stupid plot device, if you ask me. Oh, you're the hero who's destined to save the world. I'm the goddess, but I'm not going to help you unless you pass three arbitrary trials in which you have to run about and collect things. Otherwise, you're not allowed to save the world. What is the point? Let him save the world. Just give him the bloody claw shots. Why do you have to run around the desert collecting pearls of light for 20 fucking minutes? It's ridiculous.
It's like in Sonic 06 when you have to go after Eggman in the desert. Before you can get there, the guards have to like make you guess who's the captain. Like, which one of us is the captain? You have to talk to all the guards and guess. Not just let you in, you have to go after Eggman. But that's Sonic 06, and that's a terrible game, so...
Well, if I was a guard, I'd be suspicious of a talking blue hedgehog.
Yeah, especially one as spoiler as him.
But however you look at it, right, I think the process is, someone makes a video game, and they take it to their sort of, you know, PR people, and the PR people go, hey, look at this, we can write 20 hours of gameplay on the back of the box. That's great, isn't it? But what if we could write 30 hours of gameplay? You have 3 minutes. Go out there and find me 10 more hours of gameplay. Do it now. And they come back with this. And no one is any happier. Except the people who write the blurb on the back of the box.
I often wonder how long some games will be if they just took out wood filler or revisits and stuff, you know. And a lot of people would actually probably be quite mad at it being really short.
All games would be the length of the Half-Life episodes. And that's what Valve do, to be fair. They don't have filler in their games, do they?
No, and those are good games. I prefer short games with no filler. That's what I like.
But do you really want to be playing short games with no filler that last about 5 hours and only come out every 7 years?
I think the best length game I played was Devil May Cry 4. That was just the right length. It, you know, it didn't drag on to the point where I was like, okay, this is getting boring now.
You revisit areas in that.
Well, you do, but you visit as a different guy and he has different skills and, well, you get the point. It wasn't a very long game.
Something came to mind. The 30 hours thing, or hundreds of hours thing. The worst offender that I've seen in that is Final Fantasy X, because it's advertised, I think, as having like hundreds of hours. And it's easily hundreds of hours if you want to do everything. Because doing everything means getting all the ultimate weapons. If you want to get Lulu's ultimate weapon, you have to dodge 100 fucking lightning bolts in a row. Good luck doing that.
Hundreds of hours of gameplay.
Yeah, it easily has that if you want to do everything, but fuck doing everything. It's way too grindy.
Happy Man, did you realize that on the back of the box, one of their selling points was contains voice acting or something like that?
It does. Wait, let me check.
I thought that's a big selling point for a game. Yes, like, that contains voice acting.
Voiced what? Characters was actually one of their selling points.
The box here, let's see.
Go on.
Well, I think one of the things is with these games costing upwards of, you know, $50-$60 US, they kind of have to just trying to justify the length. You can't. I mean, look at. I mean, I guess an outlier would be the Call of Duty series, but that has most of its time in multiplayer. But I mean, spending all that money and you're only getting, you know, 10-12 hours of actual gameplay, kind of feel ripped off, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it's like some games are really long, and I buy them and I play them.
Some
and
games
they're...
are very tall and merciless. Quincy is destroying San Antonio. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Go on.
But I'd buy them, and I was just bored by them. I'd rather have a game that I wasn't bored by at the end of the day, even if it cost the same amount as something really long.
How long was the Rayman Origins?
Oh, we're going to talk about Rayman Origins later.
We're getting way off topic. Just started as Bioshock Infinite. Let's go on. Let's move on.
Yes. Rayman Origins, then, right? Brilliant news! Rayman Origins will be released on PC on the 30th of March of this year.
Oh.
Not only that, right, but the PC version will only cost £20. Which somewhat makes up for all those PC games recently that have been released that cost 35 or 40 quid on release, which to me is just unacceptable. Ubisoft will also be releasing it DRM-free, which makes me wonder what these sort of weird, suspicious new people did with the real Ubisoft. It's great news for all the people who are on the fence about this game. Anyone here got any opinions to voice on this?
Well, Rayman Origins sold like crap, so, you know.
So it's, you know, 5 copies sold, what's your excuse be? No one bought it. It came out between Skyward Sword and Skyrim and Modern Warfare 3 gritty bullet desert sand people adventure, whatever its name is.
Gritty bullet desert sand people adventure world. Game of the year.
All years. But no. Has anyone else seen this with PC games that sometimes a developer would be like, I think our game is worth £5 more than the average PC game, and they'll put it out there at a slightly inflated price. Activision's bad for it, but I've noticed it happened with Skyrim as well. Skyrim's more expensive than other PC games just because it can be.
Well, it only really works for high-profile games, because, you know, if you do that with anything else, you know, if I Google something, search something on Steam, I arrange it by price, because that's how I work.
Yeah,
if it's near the bottom, I'm not going to spot it.
But it happened, surely the average price of games is going to end up going up if more and more game developers do this, and soon everyone's just going to start paying 10 quid more for games on PC. Right, and I've talked to some people about this before, and they're like, why are games normally £10 less on PC? And it's because there's a licensing fee that you have to pay if you want to release a game on console, and that is the UK. It's £10 from the cost of your game, and that goes directly to the console manufacturer to license it and get the official Sony seal of quality or whatever. On PC, you don't have that, because you don't have to ask the manufacturer whether you want permission to release a game on it or not. And yet, I go to the Steam page here. Skyrim, £35. Modern Warfare 2, £40. King Arthur 2, £35. Anno 2070, £35. And these are the top sellers. So they're getting away with it. Where's this £5 going? This is just £5 of pure profit. This is unacceptable, isn't it?
Those are some really heavy games. I don't understand, Towns, I'm sorry.
Yeah, as I said again, you know, these are big heavy hitters, you know. Obviously, indie games are still, you know, staying very low in, you know, budget games. But, you know, I think it's because they know people will buy them. They're established games. Everyone's... You know, most places are talking about Skyrims with their arrows to the knees and dragons and whatnot. So, you know, if people talk about it, they're going to buy it.
So that's it. They've got a monopoly and they're now going to abuse it. Oh, good. Well, anyway, everyone here should make sure to buy Rayman Origins for £20 this March. I'm going to invest my actual money in it instead of pirating it. Also, because, Ubisoft said, oh, well, we're going to use Rayman Origins to gauge how financially feasible it would be to keep developing Beyond Good and Evil 2.
That's just holding it hostage, really, isn't
it? It's somewhere between holding it hostage and using it as a carrot on a stick, really. You have to buy our crap now. I'm looking forward to Rayman Origins, really, because Ubisoft does rather have a habit of running things into the ground. What was that about the new Hitman game recently? Does anyone remember that?
No.
Well, it had
about the new Hitman game?
It had a skin in it where you could literally see through walls and see everything around you, and it just looked... I hate using this term, but it looked casual as hell. It was like cheating.
Is it the one that hasn't been released yet?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Absolution, I think it's called. I was like, wow.
Splinter Cell. I mean, look at what Ubisoft did to Splinter Cell. You can't say that that's the same game as it was now.
But that's what I'm super saying.
I played the new Splinter Cell, and I thought it was good. I mean, I hadn't played any of the older ones to any extent, but I still had fun with it, and,
Alright. Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed has been around for, what, like, 3 years, 4 years, and there's already, like, 18
Since
games
05.
In the series.
Apparently this year is going to be the biggest year yet for Assassin's Creed, which means they're going to get more spin-off games.
Oh, good. I was bored by the end of the first one. After almost 5 years, it's the strangest thing, it's been 5 years, 5 years in development, the visual novel Katsuhara Shoujo has been released to the public. The name literally translates to Cripple Girls, and tells the story of a boy called Nakai with a heart condition who gets transferred to a school for disabled...
Nakai is his last name. Yeah, it's
right.
Cell.
I have pieced this together with things that I've read on the internet, so I apologise. Gets transferred to school for disabled children after spending 7 months in a hospital following some sort of heart attack, like some sort of heart condition. It's also a romance game, complete with ape scenes, and while you might be tempted to say something like along the lines of Bloody Japan and Their Weirdness, I know Robert Dyer would if he was here, he's not,
Bloody Japan and Their Weirdness.
This game is actually developed by Baka Gaijin from America.
And that's why the dialogue is not complete shit.
Someone went
seriously
to 2chan. I think someone from 4chan went to 2chan with, like, you know, armed with Google Translate. Hey, like, what do you guys think of Katsuhara Shoujo? And they were like, oh, this is tasteless and vulgar. Because Katsuhara is, like, it's apparently a bad word. It's like saying retard over here. It's not the sort of thing you do. So, good choice on the name there. I haven't played it yet, but it's gotten surprisingly good reviews, given the subject matter. Those of you who have, do you think it's tasteless? Do you think it's exploitative? Do you think it's a product of quality writing that has enough game elements in it to be worthy of being called a video game and not simply a book?
Japan made games called Suck My Dick and Die and Great Play. They have no right to complain about anything. That's all I have to say about it.
I haven't had a chance to play it yet. You know, I'm waiting from the review from Fox News or something. But, you know, if it's a visual novel, you know, there's always this debate whether they're really games or not, you know. How many choices does it really add? Well, have.
It has a few. Well, it depends on the route. Every route was written by a different writer. Some of them were more into it than others. So, there's one with really many, and there's one with literally one choice. But overall, it has a few.
Phoenix Wright was a game, wasn't it? It had game elements to it, didn't it? And that was a visual novel.
But
it's an adventure game.
Phoenix Wright also had puzzle elements, though. You know,
yeah.
Half of it was adventure. You're going about collecting evidence, getting testimonies and whatnot. And then you enter the courtroom, you're trying to piece together stuff, and sometimes it'll switch over to, like, a different view of, like, a map or something. And you have to go, oh, the bullet went through here. I don't know, you know. What's a game and what's not a game, really?
The thing about it is, right, these visual novels, is I'm all for better writing in video games, and I'm all for occasionally sacrificing some gameplay to get better writing, because... Let's be honest here, writing is a really important thing that lots and lots and lots of video game developers just sort of haven't got any grasp of whatsoever, whereas lots of them are quite proficient at gameplay. But if it gets to this stage where it's mostly talking in sort of a choose-your-own-adventure book style thing. I am going to start measuring the quality of the writing against the quality of books I've read. And no offence to, you know, Epic Games or anything, but the quality of the average well-respected fiction book is probably better than the quality of the average critically acclaimed video game.
I think even the story of a mediocre book, you know, is quite comparable to quite a video game with a good story, in fairness.
Well, I don't think that one medium is intrinsically better than another. But what I'm saying is that the games often get lauded by critics are not the ones that have the good stories. And Naughty Dog went on record recently saying, "We're so annoyed with critics looking at a mediocre story that we literally just lifted from Indiana Jones with a bit of Firefly here and there, and proclaiming it the best video game story since sliced bread is apparently now a story in a video game." Like, there are loads and loads of horrible books out there. Don't get me wrong. There are loads and loads of books that are complete and utter dross. But the books that are critically acclaimed are the ones with really good stories. And that's not the case for video games.
As the guy here has played Karawa Shoujo on release, no less, because I'm that pathetic, the writing is kind of up and down, I would say. It's not consistently good, but ultimately, I'd say it's a good experience. It gives some good feels, I should say, even though I dislike that word.
Right. Now, Blizzard Community Manager Mika Whipple today. I'm saying this like it's an obituary, aren't I? I'm sorry, it's not an obituary. It is an obituary. Blizzard Community Manager Mika Whipple. Let slip that Diablo 3, Blizzard's upcoming poor excuse for a Diablo game, will be releasing on consoles at some point, and confirmed earlier rumours that Blizzard had hired staff specifically to work on console ports. Blizzard's official response was that this should not be taken as a confirmation, but I wouldn't trust Blizzard to stop my helium fort from floating away while I popped to the shops to get some milk. Even if we were the last two people on Earth, and Blizzard was a person. Do you think that Diablo 3 has a hope of being good, especially considering it's not being developed by the original Diablo team? They're actually off developing Torchlight 2 right now. And, you know, just the reputation of games that switch developers halfway through development. Hello, Crash Bandicoot. You know, it's not good, is it?
I have never played Diablo, so I can't judge, but...
It came out before I was born, so I haven't played it either.
I've played a good amount of Diablo 2, and I don't know. I think it's one of those things where it's going to be hard to compete just up against your predecessor. It's kind of like the sequel syndrome with movies. I'm holding all my judgment until I can actually get my hands on the game and play it. But I will say I am disappointed that besides the actual like dungeons, the entire world is static. It's not random maps like it has been.
Oh. I didn't know that. I'm quite disappointed now.
Yeah, I was disappointed when I heard about it.
I think one of my biggest gripes with the Diablo 3 is currently how it's sort of looking. I know it's kind of hard to say, but it's sort of... It's taking cues from World of Warcraft, it looks like to me.
I don't mind how it looks, to be honest. I know a lot of people have said it's not dark, it's not gritty enough. Diablo is meant to be gothic fantasy, damn it. But if you actually, like, I was someone who sat in a darkened room every lunchtime at school and played Diablo 2 till the end of lunch, and then played it at home and fed my addictions and more. It looks like complete arse, that game, with its horrible, tacky, pre-rendered 3D models. It looks like arse. It is one of the worst-looking games from that period. It has not aged well at all. You know when you go back and play an old strategy game or something like Caesar 3 or Empire Earth, and you watch the pre-rendered CG intro and you think, this is the naffest CG I've ever seen. That's what Diablo 2 looks like. So actually, I don't really... It's not important. It's an improvement, I think.
Also, I just want to say, like, people are saying that, oh, Diablo 3 is in, you know, grim, dark, gothic, all that. I mean, if, alright, so say you put a gem in one of your weapons in Diablo 3. If you put a ruby, your sword will be bright red. If you hit an enemy and they're poisoned, they turn bright green. It's not that grim dark.
The settings are grim dark, and the characters all have dark names. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I've heard about some of the stuff. Does anyone recall offhand what they're actually doing to stuff like leveling up and the skill trees? Like, I've heard rumors like that points will be automatically distributed when you level up. You don't get to manually add them to different things, stuff like that. Does anyone know?
Yeah, your skill points, like your dexterity, your health and all that is automatically distributed.
Oh yes, right. LAN play. Have they confirmed LAN play or not? Because every time I played Diablo 2, it was on LAN. I never went to Battle.net, and I'm glad that I didn't, because I heard it was full of complete assholes who just wanted to do PvP all the time. If this game doesn't have LAN, then it's basically dead on arrival, isn't it?
I heard they weren't going to do LAN, but I could double check that.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, I think the word was it was constant online DRM, and you would be connected to Battle.net. You know, there's no LAN. All single player for that matter, I think, but don't quote me on that. Yeah.
Hey, terrible.
I've just checked the Battle.net forums, and according to that, is no LAN.
I don't get that. I don't at all. Aside from anything else, right? No LAN option. What does that mean for when you, as a company, decide that it's time to shut down your aging, you know, 10-year-old multiplayer master server? It just means that people will never be able to play your game multiplayer again. And that's tragic. That's absolutely tragic. Because we're going to end up losing, just completely, just lost to the ether, a lot of great multiplayer games if this trend continues.
I remember when Halo 2 servers were shutting down, and a lot of people on V were really sad about it, played a bunch of games, and it was nice. I wasn't in it, because I don't have Halo 2, but it was kind of a beautiful moment.
I was just going to say, you know Fallout 2238? Fallout 2?
Yes.
What someone's got it done is they've set up an online game of that. They set up an open multiplayer world for that.
It's I saw Fallout, something about that.
Yeah, 2238 online.
Isn't it full of Russians who will kill you if you don't speak Russian?
Yeah.
Like all free multiplayer games.
But I'm just saying that as long as PC gamers are involved in the wild card, we can always count on having private servers.
Hmm. Doesn't that depend on whether the server software gets released or not?
There's always a way of procuring it.
I'm glad you're so optimistic.
Obviously, the only one that comes to mind when that actually happened was the PSO servers. But, you know, I'm sure it's happened more than that.
WoW
has private servers, I think.
Most games do.
Like, I'm one of these people who's all in favour of things like the Digital Archive Project. I think that a lot of computer stuff isn't as immutable as things that exist in the real world. And if you don't try to archive it and try to preserve it, then one day it will be lost forever. And that's not good at all. Right. Next thing. BioWare has hinted...
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
I say it's BioWare ever goes, oh shit. BioWare has hinted that they might be developing a Mac version of their breakthrough genre-defining blockbuster WoW-killer MMO epic Star Wars The Old Republic. It's unknown at this point whether they'll be swapping all the cancel and OK buttons to meet Apple's current UI guidelines. There are no cancel buttons. BioWare Bigwig Ray Muzika Ray Muzika says, We've done a lot of Mac ports before of our games. We haven't announced any details yet for the Old Republic, but we know that there's an important and large audience, apparently forgetting that the only people who use Macs are graphic designers, musicians who are still using Logic Pro, and the occasional spoiled teenager. Do you think a Mac version could save this apparent train wreck of an MMO? And if you're a long-time BioWare fan, do you feel just a tad alienated by their recent releases?
I'm not a long-time BioWare fan. I mean, I haven't played anything older than the first Mass Effect, but... No, I don't think it will save them. Also, yes, I fucking hate BioWare now. Holy shit, Dragon Age 2 was so bad!
It seems to me like they're making some sort of, you know, conceited effort to go, alright, we want to get rid of the people who remember us as that company that made Baldur's Gate.
But they certainly seem to be heading down that route with some of the things I've heard about the Mass Effect 3 with their action mode.
Mass Effect 3 is a bit up in the air right now. Especially with EA's, shall I say, dabblings in their distribution.
I don't mind there being an action mode, as long as that means there won't be too much action in the RPG mode.
Yes, yeah, so sort of, you know, we'll appeal to the Call of Duty audience, and we'll make a portion of the game that doesn't have any sort of pressure on it to be enjoyable for the so-called Call of Duty audience. I know what you mean. Like, all the stuff that I've heard about the Old Republic is just... Especially people getting banned from the Old Republic accounts and getting banned from their Origin accounts for complaining about things on the BioWare official forums. Because I am the sort of person who gets banned from every single forum that they visit, pretty much for arguing with the mods that their forum is shit or that their modding policies are stupid or something. So I feel bad for a lot of people who have lost their Origin accounts and their subscription money just for voicing their opinions.
Well, there was one guy who got banned from BioWare for saying, I'm 12 and what is this? And they thought it was an actual 12-year-old posting, so they banned him.
The worst thing about it was the other people in the forums who were actually supporting it, you know. They were like, oh, this is a meme and that. And they were like, well, you know, you still shouldn't say shit like that on forums. You know, this is a mature forum for us mature gamers.
One other thing, right, that I don't really understand about BioWare's Ben Happy attitude. I've heard accounts of people who were using sort of maybe exploits, using their low-level characters, going into high-level areas... opening chests, getting loot and stuff like that. The stuff that could vaguely be considered an exploit, but instead of BioWare fixing the exploit, they just banned vast swathes of people who are using it.
It was even worse when the PvP area, where they created a sort of a system and it became incredibly imbalanced, and one team was just raping them at the other team at the spawn and just gaining points. And BioWare was like, oh, we've closed this and we've removed all the points from everyone who partook in the area. You know. Whose fault is it? Is it the people playing the game? You know, they were just playing the game, you know. They were like, oh man, we're kicking ass. I doubt they were standing there going, ah, we're ahead of the system, man. Look at us. You know, we're beating the game.
Yeah, you know, maybe some people were just
playing.
I doubt everybody realized they were exploiting either, so it's just BioWare being stupid.
That's it. Release a broken game and ban people who point out that it's broken. How ridiculous. On another BioWare related note, it appears, so that I'm reading another obituary now, that Mass Effect 3 for PC will require Origin in order to run it, even if you buy it on a disc. Because at this point it would be foolish to assume that you're actually buying any EA game and not just renting it from EA for an undetermined period of time. BioWare liar and scoundrel Chris Priestley says, Steam has adopted a set of restrictive terms of service which limit how developers interact with customers to deliver patches and other downloadable content. We're intent on providing Mass Effect players with the best possible experience, no matter where they purchase or play their game, and are happy to partner with any download service that does not restrict our ability to connect directly with consumers. Which is marketing bullshit, for we want a bigger cut of the dirty, dirty DLC money. Like, right, here's the thing. While I personally welcome legitimate competition to Steam, because, you know, to be fair, it's a complete monopoly right now. The public's general reaction to Origin has been just really, really bad, and their terms of service appear to have been written by someone who hates paying customers with a fiery passion. And this news comes at a time when Valve have reported a 100% plus growth in Steam's sales for the seventh consecutive year. Now, given Steam's ubiquity, isn't EA just completely shooting themselves in the foot by not just releasing it on both platforms and letting fans make an informed decision about where they want to buy it?
Well, let me just say something first. I think you were a bit biased at the beginning there, where you was like, oh, even if you buy the disc, you have to use Origins. Well, Valve games do that with Steam, so, you know, just saying that was a bit biased.
No, it wasn't. The thing about Valve games and Steam, right, is that, people were annoyed when Steam came out, because they had to, go and install this horrible bloatware software just in order to play this game they'd legally bought. That was, how many years ago is it now? Steam launched in, what, 2004 with the release of Half-Life 2? That's 7 or 8 years? Origin are late. People already have all their eggs in the Steam basket. Why should we put it in EA's basket? EA's basket is shit.
It's a bit like now FilmFlex has came over here to Europe. You know, it's been in America for ages, but, you know, we've got all these other services that are already here. And they've already developed sort of, you know, all, you know, their people are already paying customers.
Did you just call Netflix FilmFlex?
I might have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
I thought you were talking about something. I didn't realize you were talking about Netflix until the last point
learned,
out. I've
learned to decipher his ramblings now. But seriously, Origin. Does anyone here have Origin on their computers?
No.
Nope.
That's how successful EA have been.
Nobody likes
campaign.
EA. Nobody likes them.
And to be fair, I don't PC game, so I'm kind of an outlier.
EA are canonically the bad guys, aren't they?
Yeah, but EA
Activision,
like to charge...
Activision used to be, but yeah. Now
EA like to charge full price for all of their games for like 5 years. Even when the sequels come out as well. Which is new.
I think that's the plan, because now, you know, if it's exclusive to Origin, you know, Steam, they might go down, because, you know, other services will have them. But if it's just on Origin, you know, you already know where the cheapest price is on PC. It's on Origin. Where else is it going to be? Because it's only there.
What you were saying about Steam earlier, and how Skyrim was £5 more as well. What I normally do, if that happens, is I go to a place like Amazon, buy a solid copy, because I don't mind waiting, and then just put the key in Steam, and then I have my box as well. And it costs about £5 less.
I do
like
boxes. Boxes are nice. Yeah.
Not all games support DD keys in Steam, but yeah, you know, that is a thing I hear a lot of people do.
I like buying things, Steam. I like being able to install my games on lots of different computers, no matter where they are. You know, I like having the little pop-ups in the corner, like, you know, Thingamajig is now playing Doodad, has invited you to play Whatchamacallit. I like all of that. Why have they got to make their games £5 more on Steam? So it doesn't make any sense to me.
Your use of technical terms has sincerely flabbergasted me, dear boy. really, though, yeah, I've just ended up buying a lot of my games on Amazon because they've been like £10 cheaper than the Steam release, and I get a box.
Digital distribution is meant to make things cheaper for people, but it looks like... I don't actually know how much of a cut Steam takes, but my understanding was that the cut they took was a lot less than the cut that retail takes.
It is, but they've got a lot less costs as well, because... It's a click business, not a brick and click, so you know, you don't have to pay for solid,
manufacturing costs, shipping costs, those kind basically. Of things.
Well, then, surely, you know, developers would be making more on Steam than they would brick and mortar. It seems weird to just, like, be trying to siphon people back to brick and mortar. Wait, no, it's not about the developers, is it? It's about the publishers.
That's what I'm super saying.
So you think it's publishers want to keep people going to shops instead of buying their games on Steam whenever they can?
Pretty much. Publishers have been trying to target the mainstream market forever and ever, not to neckbeards who sit at their computers for all day.
That's why publishers actually create their own, because they don't want people to go to Steam, because obviously, again, they get like a cut.
I don't know, it's just, you know, Origin, from people I've talked to who have used it, it's absolutely horrible, and it requires you to run, you know, various web browsers and things, and there's lots of talks of people getting either double charged for games or getting charged and not receiving their games, and there's talk of people being banned from Origin for ridiculous things like forum posts or getting banned in one game and having that ban happen across all the other games in the Origin system, and EA support staff being rude to people, and you just think, come on. Like, they're trying to compete with something that's already been there for 7 years, that a lot of people already have, you know, 10, 20, 50, 100, 200 games bought on. They really need to try and, you know, and either undercut Steam or provide a better service than them, or else Mass Effect 3 is going to go unsold, and EA will have shot themselves in the foot. Not that anyone is going to really miss Mass Effect 3 with what I've heard of it.
And then EA released a statement saying the reason Mass Effect 3 didn't sell was due to piracy on PC, and now all their games will be console exclusives.
It's ridiculous, really, because it's quite easy to pirate things on the 360. It's not so easy to pirate on the PS3, but we're getting there. It's stupidly easy to pirate things on the Wii. The PS and PSP piracy is really... It's alright. If you're determined to be a pirate, if you go to the effort to pirate things on PC, then of course you're going to go to the effort to pirate things on consoles as well. It's ridiculous to assume anything otherwise.
It's just less well known on consoles, and you know, again, it does require a bit more effort rather than just downloading and copying a crack into a folder than on PC.
Well, a little bit more effort, but I mean, that's the whole idea of DRM, is basically to make things very slightly more inconvenient for pirates, isn't it? I don't think people are strangers to being slightly inconvenient if it means that they can get a game that costs 40 quid for free.
Next topic.
Actually,
next topic.
That's all my topics. So if anyone else has any news
I have
they've
a few.
Heard that they want to discuss, then say it now.
All right, so I have a few. First one, Nintendo considering a new name for Wii U. This is a rumor from Destructoid. It says a rumor, though, but it says... Computer and Video Games says, sources close to the platform holder, I don't know what this means, this could be anything, have suggested that Nintendo is considering changing the name of the next console before E3 comes around. Discussions are going on at the highest level right now, and they could be moving to avoid some of the public confusion they saw with the 3DS. A name change is a real possibility, and Nintendo is keen not to repeat the same naming mistakes with the next console.
Well, so, I was one of those people who watched the Nintendo conference where they announced the Wii U, and it wasn't really until I'd spent at least 40 minutes doing some of the most intense thinking that my brain could possibly undergo that I even understood what the thing was, you know. People are going to be confused at this point as to whether it's a new console, as to whether it's a new controller, as to whether it's an upgraded version of a Wii. You know, people, they didn't really say much about what it was, let alone calling it the Wii U. How are people meant to say Wii U on TV?
Yeah, Wii U. It's a new console, they said in a statement afterwards.
Yeah, I know what it is now. It's gonna, they said in a statement afterwards, it's gonna confuse them.
I was stumped for a while.
hell out of people. People didn't know whether it was a fruity controller or some kind of handheld with TV connectivity. I mean, the fact that you can plug Wii controllers into it, that's going to confuse people.
That's they called it the new controller too. That was like the slogan. So I thought it was a new controller at first. Anyway, the thing I was going to ask was, what do you think would be a better name?
Revolution.
The revolution is so cheesy. I'm glad they changed it to Wii. And Wii is the sort of thing that sticks in people's minds because it's weird.
What if they just called it the Nintendo?
Oh no! I hate it when people do that.
All of those horrible reboots of movies that just have the name of the original with no number.
Yeah, the Final Destination.
Nintendo Entertainment System.
Ultra Nintendo. Yes.
The Nintendo Entertainment System 2.
What? That's ridiculous.
I quite like the sound.
What about the Super Wii?
Ultra Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's quite hard to come up with descriptive names for consoles. That must be why everyone else has given up with it.
Can I just posit a bet? I have a feeling they're going to call it the...
Is everyone no, wait. Working now?
Juju and 1-1 need to be here.
Boygus?
There's you now. Now.
Okay.
Boygus, I can hear you.
Hey!
He's sending a message to Wan.
Yes, it's Wan. Should I start like a Steam chat just in case?
I'm going to conjecture as to what he might have. I have no idea what they're going to call it. I'm glad they don't ask me to name things, because I always come up with really, really stupid names.
I would just call it Super Wii, because I'm unimaginative.
Super Wii would have a lot of charm to it, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, next topic. It's not... there's not a lot to talk about. Capcom just announced Ace Attorney 5.
Yes.
There's no information on it yet. There's one picture of Phoenix and Maya on a plane ride, and that's literally all the information we have, so nothing on date, platformer characters.
Phoenix solves 9/11. Call it now.
No.
What?
Gosh darn it. Hello, Wan. Okay.
Did my voice break the everything?
No, you're back.
You were about to say what you thought the Super Wii was going to be called, I think.
Yes, I posited that it would be called the Nintendo 2012.
Is that because your dad works at Nintendo and you know these things?
Oh, yeah. My dad also works for Konami and I've got some secret Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah, but you can't show them to us or your dad will be fired.
Yeah. God damn it, everyone had that kid at school.
Yeah. Okay, I have another topic. This is pretty damn funny. Minecraft language updates inadvertently contained racial slur, but it's fixed now. This is from Joystick.
Do you mind me asking what the slur was, or
yes,
was
it somewhere? I'm getting to that. Okay. So Minecraft have been doing a translation project, and fans are helping them translate. But here's the thing. Changing the language to Afrikaans, which is the language spoken in South Africa, causes the title screen to display the phrase, "You are a nigger."
Oh, God.
So,
great.
Yeah, Mojang doesn't... They don't check it, clearly. They don't check the files they get in from the translators. It's fixed now, but...
That's amazing.
Yes. It said, like, instead of start game, it says, "You are a nigger."
Oh, God. My dad, it's such a well-oiled, slickly done operation, yeah. Isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's pretty amazing. There's a picture. I'll put it up later.
That's brilliant. Thank you, you know, Notch and Jens and whatever the rest of them are called for that. Thank you for brightening our collective days. Right,
okay.
You're
gone.
All the news,
right? No, I have one more.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
I have one more. This is not about video, but I feel it needed to be brought up. I literally just found out about this, like, 2 minutes before we started recording, so I haven't read it through thoroughly, but the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that the Congress can re-copyright public domain works.
What?
They can re-copyright public domain works. It says here, the court ruled that just because material enters the public domain, it is not territory that works may never exit. It was ruled by on a petition by a group of orchestra conductors, educators, performers, publishers, and film archivists who wanted this to happen, and they filed a petition on it.
Yeah. Why? What is it that the American Congress have against things being in the public domain? Right now, if you copyright something, like a work, like a film or something, the copyright will not only last your entire lifetime, but it will last 70 years after you're dead. So after you're dead, it's still your property. But it's not like you can license it out to someone after you're dead. You have to wait 70 bloody years before anyone else gets to use it, in case you're being deprived of funds whilst being decomposed in the ground by anaerobic microorganisms. It's the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah, you know, the old Mickey Mouse cartoons, they should have been public domain a while ago.
They should have been public domain ages ago. Under the original laws of copyright that, you know, Queen Elizabeth or whatever agreed on, Star Wars would be public domain right now, and people would be able to make their own things based in Star Wars and not have to give any money to George Lucas. Now, I'm not advocating maybe that extreme, but why? Why does something have to be copyright of you after you're dead? What do you possibly have to gain?
Your company has to gain, that's all it is.
But you're dead!
Yes, but I guess I really have no idea.
Imagine you're a dead man right now. Is this top of your list of priorities?
I don't care what happens to me after I'm dead or anything I own.
Yeah, but you want to secure so your descendants will be financially wealthy. Yeah, you don't want to just say, yeah, okay, I'm dead. I had a good run. No one cares about, you know, these little shits down there.
But your descendants, they didn't do shit. They didn't invent whatever awesome thing it was you invented. Just for the fact that they were simply born from their loins, it suddenly means that they now have ownership over this great thing that you made? That's ridiculous.
It's also your lineage, though. You know, it's, you know, you don't want people sort of defiling it or anything.
Well, you do if it's in public domain. Do people say this about Shakespeare? Has Shakespeare been defiled? Wait, I've just realised the hypocrisy of saying this, having watched that horrible movie with Leonardo DiCaprio in it. The point still stands, however, that something being in the public domain does not necessarily make it horrid and defiled.
I'm going to go out of my way to horrid, defy, and defile every single public domain thing.
I like the idea of copyleft, personally. And I like Richard Stallman, even though he advocates sex with dead plants.
What?
Richard, sometime you should read Richard Stallman's wiki quote page. He said some quite bizarre things. In fact, I'll read some of them to you now, if you'd like. For necrophilia, it might be necessary to ask the next of kin permission if the descendant's will did not authorise it. Necrophilia would be my set choice for what should be done with my corpse, the first being scientific or medical use. Once my dead body is no longer of any use to me, it may well be of use to someone. Besides, I often enjoy rhinophytonecrophilia, which is nasal sex with dead plants.
Okay. Sounds like a cool guy.
He is a cool guy. But, I mean, yes, he has some extremely weird opinions, sure, but I like the idea of copyleft. I like the idea that people who are maybe just getting into making things, like musicians who want to sample or something along those lines, do have a library of great works that other people have made to go to start out to use as material. And I think that especially the sampling revolution that happened in the late 80s and early 90s has really given people tools to be creative and create amazing things that hadn't been heard before. And we're not going to have that freedom soon, are we? Everything's going to be copyrighted, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the future.
Copyright's just never going to expire. Not 100 years, not 100,000 years, not even after the human race has been wiped off the planet. It's depressing.
Can I just say, do not worry about the future because Jet Set Radio. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
Awesome!
Okay, before we move on, I want to add that this would probably have been much bigger news if it wasn't for SOPA.
Yeah, SOPA's
That's what's on everyone's mind. This deserves more attention, really, that it's complete bullshit.
Just if you've, one more thing, if you haven't heard about the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement yet, then
that's
legislation being considered in America that's not only bad for freedom of speech and bad for website operators, but it also says several nasty things about the withholding of generic drugs to people who need them and copywriting of plant genomes that could spell bad news for people in developing countries who want to start growing GM crops. So if you haven't heard about the ACTA anti-counterfeiting trade agreement yet, then do look it up and sign some petitions and contact. If you're in the EU, there's EU people you can contact. If you're in the UK, there's petitions on HM government. If you're in the US, it doesn't mean you get a free pass not to worry about it, because the US is considering signing this thing as well.
Anyway.
What does plants have to do with copyright? let's just go on.
It's just something. It's just something Richard Stallman said that has always stuck in my mind. For personal reasons, I do not browse the web from my computer. To look at a page, I send a mail. I send mail to a daemon, which runs wget and mails the page back to me. It is a very efficient use of my time, but it is slow in real time. If you understand what's going on there, then I just think he's an amazing guy. I think we should all strive to be more like Richard Stallman. Anyway, enough of my fanboyism. What have you been playing this month?
Sonic 06.
What have you been playing this month? Oh, go alphabetically.
Sonic 06. I don't want to talk about it. It's horrible.
Don't want to talk about it.
Let's not talk about it.
Gotta go fast!
Gotta go fast.
It's no use!
Okay, stop. I need to make a decision for Animal Crossing. Hold on. Animal Crossing is the best game ever. Everyone should play it. If you don't like it, there's something wrong with you. There.
Animal Crossing is fantastic.
I haven't ever actually sat down for any prolonged period of time and played Animal Crossing, so sell it to me now.
I shouldn't have to sell it to you. You should just play it anyway.
Sell it to me anyway.
No.
But aren't I just a kid who's horribly in debt, who now has to work and do menial tasks for the next few years of his life in order to recoup my losses?
It sounds like going to university.
See, it's like teaching me life lessons and crap.
Oh, that's teaching me life lessons.
No, teaching me life lessons.
Teaching
Animal Crossing is teaching you life lessons.
Animal Crossing is teaching you that you'll forever be poor and working for someone who you hate.
Also, never push the reset button without saving, or a mole will be pissed at you.
Mr. Rossetti is my waifu.
He's your waifu? You have a god to your waifu.
Oh, yeah.
It gets worse the more you say it, because he tells you to, like, repeat certain phrases, and you have to spell it spot on. Whilst you're like, no, that's not how you say it, do it right. And you have to, like, spend 2 hours just retyping it, or you reset and try again.
Good times.
Well, I have been playing a little game by Increpair called English Country Tune. And it's basically, you know old puzzle games, like Sokoban is one, and there's other games where you do things like push boxes around to get them to certain points, or, you know... Well, you're a little character and you move around on a grid and you push buttons and things. One of those sort of games. It's similar to that, only, first of all, it's 3D and all the levels are 3D. And you can move around in any direction you'd like. And secondly, it's like sort of the Super Mario Galaxy of those puzzle games to an extent, because there is basically no up and no down, and they are just sort of, they are dependent entirely upon which direction you're facing at the time. So it opens up all these really, really interesting ideas for puzzles and game mechanics that all interlap, that all sort of have interplay and overlap brilliantly to create one of, I'd say it's one of the best puzzle games I've played in the last year. Not only that, it's one of, you know, like how Portal 2 is one of those games that makes you feel smart for being able to solve all the puzzles, even if they weren't that difficult. English Country Tune is one of those games that makes you feel really, really stupid for this, even if you do solve the puzzles, because you're like, oh shit, all I had to do is this. Jesus Christ, I'm an idiot.
Hang on. Slow down for a minute. What's the gameplay like? I don't know. You know, I'm trying to visualize what the hell you're talking about. Do you push blocks?
Part of it is pushing blocks. So there are some blocks that you can push go in the same direction that you've gone on. And if you push them off the edge of something, then the direction that they fall is dependent upon which way up you're facing when you push them. Then there are some blocks that you don't ever touch, but that you push by entering an area in the game world that has the same X, Y, or Z coordinate as them. That sounds kind of complicated, but when you actually see it, it's very simple to understand, but it creates some of the most mind-melting puzzles that you could possibly imagine. And there's various other sort of gameplay mechanics, like there are some blocks that you step on. There are some areas where you step on blocks where you make something that appears behind you, and then you can't go backwards and step on that block again. It's a really good puzzle game. You need an undo button to play it. If you're a fan of these puzzle games from the 90s, like, you know, Sokoban and Chip's Challenge and all that stuff, then go get it right now. And even if you're not, I'm pretty sure it's going to be in the next Humble Indie Bundle, and everyone's going to be talking about it in 1 or 2 months. So pick it up then. It's worth it, seriously.
And then we'll all be really cool for liking it before it was popular.
Yes, we will. If you pick it up now, you'll be cool for liking it before it was popular. That's all right. My recommendation.
We should have like a list of links to the games we talk about and the news articles.
That is. I don't actually have citations for anything I've said. I could be making it all up for all of you, Cap. But yeah, next time I'll provide links, and I'll provide a link to English Country. Dodds, what have you been playing?
Dodds.
Sorry.
Just you thinking about the sponge baths or something? I see.
Yeah. Anyway. This month, you know, this Christmas, my mum brought, like, an Xbox to the living room with a Kinect. So I went out, look for Garden...
You
no,
filthy
Child,
cat.
Child of Eden. And then the queue was too long in Game Station, so I dropped that HMV and got Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
And Kinectimals.
Yeah.
You can be molested by a virtual lion, are ye?
I've been out of the fighting scene for quite a while. You know, all I've really played is, like, King of Fighters and sort of, like, MAME. You know, too many flashing lights. It's quite a weird concept to me. Also, I don't recognise half the Marvel characters, because I only know video game characters.
Yeah.
So every time I play it, I only play video game characters.
I do recognize most of them. I'm kind of a Marvel fan. Although
I recognize them because I played other Marvel vs. Capcom games.
But yeah, I don't really know what I haven't really played that much this month. I've been mostly focusing on work.
No, you haven't. I've been mostly focusing on work.
Hang on, I know what I've been played. XCOM.
Oh,
great game.
Yes, that's right, yes. Those seven-hour-long sprees of XCOM I saw you play on
Steam. It's one of those games where you'll find yourself in situations where you won't find yourself in other games, you know. It's not hard as such, but you'll be put into situations where you think, you know, you might have an alien who's just happened to holding a prime grenade. And you shoot that alien, you're like, I killed him. And you just go up to the body and you're like, oh shit, a grenade. And half your team dies.
I can imagine you doing that. To be fair, you have completely sold me on XCOM, everything you've said about it. I'm going to have to try it out.
That means... I've got a 50% off voucher for XCOM, so I could send you that.
I might take you up on that at some point. Happy Man, what have you been playing recently?
Do I have to talk about Sonic 06? God damn it.
Talk about it in intense detail. Just let
okay.
it all out.
Sonic,
just let
Sonic
it all
2006
out.
Is a very, very rushed Sonic game that came out in 2006. The reason it was rushed was because Sega wanted this game to be out by Sonic's 25th anniversary, and Sonic Team didn't have time to work out all the bugs. So it's a very, very buggy game, and the controls, everything is just horrible. Me and Sean and Hexler played it a couple of weeks ago, and we got very frustrated. The recordings of the stream are up on YouTube.
So you should provide a link to those, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I should. So in the game, you're Sonic the Hedgehog, and Sonic the Hedgehog saves... No, wait. Some princess gets kidnapped by Dr. Eggman, who has four nipples. He has four nipple microphones on his suit.
I'm actually with this, because if you've... I'll post a picture of him. The Eggman in this game is the strangest looking...
He has the strangest look. Oh. Let's see here.
I'm looking at this now. No one listening to this podcast can be able to look at this, but I am. Or at least I would be if I hadn't frozen.
Oh my god. Yeah, look at his four nipple microphones.
What?
Eggman's four nipple microphones.
What's wrong with his gut?
It's one of those things, you just look at him, you're just like... There's just not something right about him. It just
my
feels
computer's
weird.
Been frozen
about
the last 30 minutes, 30 seconds or so of this conversation has been gone for me. Oh my gosh!
Alright. Yeah. Speaking to them.
Why?
What's up with his coat? Like, I can't understand his anatomy.
What? Why? What is the point?
Tetsuya Nomura designed Eggman for this game.
Uh-huh.
Alright, so I'm gonna move on with Sonic 2006. So, Eggman kidnaps the princess, and so Sonic goes running around this town and looks for information about Eggman, which doesn't make sense. He should know who Eggman is. Why does he have to look for information? Anyway, so he finds this guy Tails, who is his friend and is really annoying and useless, and he also finds Alberto Robert, who is an old man who makes shoes and is the best character in the game. And he makes some shoes so he can measure something. I don't know. And then he goes to the beach and dies a lot because the controls are horrible. Then he goes to the desert and dies a lot again because the controls are horrible. And, what else? Oh, yeah. The princess, they have a love scene on the grass. Sonic and the princess.
Yeah, it's just... it's weird. You just sit there and you watch it and you just cringe.
Like, almost bestiality, but not...
No, at the end of the game, there's actual bestiality. But we haven't gotten that point yet. I know it, though.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yes. So, you also fight this guy, Silver the Hedgehog, who wants to kill Sonic. And his boss fight is the most bullshit boss fight I've ever seen. Because if you get close to him, he will say, "It's no use!" And he will grab you and throw you. And it will damage you. So, anytime you get close to him, he will do this. The only time you can attack him is when he is attacking you, by throwing items at you. And, but here's the thing. If he grabs you in the air, you will be launched upwards, and lose your rings, and then you'll come back down and be grabbed again, and you will die. If he catches you in the air, it's over. Also, against the wall, if he catches you, it's over. It's, there's no, like, you don't have time to react when he grabs you, and throws you, because you'll get grabbed again if he's nearby. It's a very bullshit boss fight. Also, the camera doesn't focus on him, so you can't see where he is.
So, A-star game design all around, then.
Yes.
My favorite bit was the physics in the game, where Sonic's standing at the top of the...
Oh, yeah! When he stands at the top of the loop there.
You know,
stretches.
They complained about Sonic 4 having bad physics, and then there's, like, in Sonic 06, the standing there's like, fuck gravity.
Oh, yeah, and then there's snowboarding section. You snowboard. And you get chased by a huge snowball, and then you gotta make a huge jump, but since you gotta time something very precisely, but since the controls are so unreliable, it's very hard to time it, and that's where we rage quit. I'm trying to get the crew together to play another session a weekend. We're all going to go insane by the end of this game.
Brilliant, brilliant. Juju, what's been going on with you?
So that's Sonic's about you. Yeah, Juju. Of you.
I haven't purchased new games recently, seeing as how at the beginning of the month I finally got my TV back. So I've been just trying to catch up on all the games I missed. Recently I finished Shadows of the Damned, which I found was an excellent game. But really I've been playing a lot of old Nintendo and Super Nintendo ROMs on stream. I played Magical Poppin', which was excellent. I also played Doremi Fantasy. Can't remember the rest of the title. It's a sequel to Mylon's Secret Castle, which is also good. And other than that, I played some Splinter Cell Conviction co-op with my friend, which was quite enjoyable. We found a few glitches that have just been hilarious. And that, I haven't really played much.
Just want to say, right, I thought I had an obscure taste in old games, but I'm pretty sure the first two games you mentioned, I have no idea what they are. So
I know of Doremi, but didn't know it was a sequel to Mylon.
I thought it was a sequel to Bubble Bobble.
No, they're both, don't get me started on Bubble Bobble, both platformers, and I don't know, the controls feel good. Doremi Fantasy, not so much, it felt a little sluggish, but...
I think I know the one you mean. Sorry, I was thinking of Rayman. I was thinking of Rainbow Islands. I apologize for my idiocy.
But yeah, other than that, I have been doing quite a bit of filler streaming with Bubble Bobble.
No! Don't never gonna be able to get it out of my head.
Luckily, I am able to play music while I'm playing Bubble Bobble, so we're not subjected to that song getting stuck in our head every time I feel like filler.
I enjoyed you. I'm trying to think, folks.
I remember someone made a port of Bubble Bobble for TI calculators, and I was so disappointed because there's no way for it to output sound, and I was just so disappointed that I couldn't listen to the music, too. In class. And annoy the hell out of everyone.
Wan, I want to hear everything. I want to hear everything you've done in the last month, down to the last minute detail.
I've been playing Phantasy Star Online on my Dreamcast.
Awesome. Didn't the second Alpha Phantasy Star Online 2 start recently?
Yes, it did. There's sliders for everything.
I know.
Dear God.
I was awake in the morning just as the Alpha was starting. I was like, I really want to watch all the billion streams of it, but I've got to go to college.
I watched a stream for it, and the combat has become so streamlined. It just looks so good. I was just like, oh, my undergarments will forever be arrived in while watching this. It just looks amazing. I'm a fanboy, so my disposition is skewed slightly.
Yeah, it looks like it's reaching that quality level you should expect from high-end MMO. Well, if you want to call it MMOs like that.
Not really an MMO, is
yeah,
it? It's got more in common with Diablo, I think.
But
a party-based adventuring game.
Yeah. The combat was quite rigid in the older games, like in Blue Burst, but they've gone and streamlined it and added little things like dashing and comboing with two different weapons.
Mouse aiming with guns, isn't there also?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it's still auto-aiming with guns.
Well, totally psyched. Looking very much forward to that, actually.
Also, one thing, they've also got gun blades as well.
Neat.
Gunblades.
See, yeah, if anything else, I'd be like, what a bunch of rubbish. But because it's PSO, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
We're all PSO fanboys.
Cause I saw the guy do two combos. He slashed once, slashed again, and as he brought his sword up, he shot it into an enemy's face. I was like, oh my god! But yeah, that's just me though. I'm gonna go back to my corner now and sip my tea.
Right. Well, now it is time for everyone's favourite part of the last 20 podcasts that we've done. It is horrible fan fiction reading.
Oh yes, this is the highlight of my week from now on.
I swear, one person each time we do this podcast will bring in a horrible piece of fan written narrative for one of their favourite things in existence, and we'll then read it, much to the delight of everyone here. And I think Happy Man is going to do this.
Okay, so I went digging on the shining beacon of tastefulness and rationality known as fanfiction.net, and I found this interesting piece. It's a crossover fanfiction, so that's exciting. It's a crossover between Sonic the Hedgehog and hit 90s TV show Friends, so that's going to be interesting. Yes, it's exactly as it sounds. Okay, so we're starting. It's called The One with the Hedgehog. Okay. It was late at night in Manhattan, and all of the friends were asleep. The friends. Apart from Joey, who wanted a midnight snack, he looked in his fridge. There was only beer and baking soda. Nothing to eat, so he decided to go over to Chandler and Monica's apartment to see if they had something in their fridge. I like the sentence structures. Fantastic. He came out of his apartment. It was dark, and he seemed to trip over something. It made a sound. He thought he may have tripped over a dog. What the? He started to say, and he looked closely at the dark creature who was getting up. It seemed to be standing on two legs. Oh my god, Joey screamed, waking up everyone near him. Out in the corridor. Chandler, Monica, Rachel, and Baby Emma. Who's Baby Emma? I haven't seen Friends in...
I don't know.
Who had kids in Friends?
I think Phoebe did.
Phoebe I've had seen, kids. Like, one episode of Friends, and I never wanted to watch it ever again.
No, but...
that in our psychology lesson.
Phoebe isn't here. It's Chandler, Monica, Rachel, and Baby Emma, so I guess it's Rachel's kids.
Yeah, alright. Or they just stole the baby.
Let's continue. Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
They all ran into the hall as Joey managed to turn a light on to see a furry black creature running around in the corner. What is that? Rachel yelled, looking quite afraid. Joey chased after it and came carrying it back by the scruff of its neck. Let me go, I'll hurt you bad, it shouted in a masculine voice. It was struggling about. What is it? Rachel said again, looking a bit disgusted. They all took a closer look, looking into his deep ruby red eyes that began to narrow at them. He kicked Joey in the stomach and escaped from his hand. He ran out, pushing past him. Damn humans, he yelled, but tripped over on the step. Damn step, he yelled, grabbing his foot. He had now hurt it. Grabbing his foot, he had now hurt it. Again, what is it? Rachel said. I'm a hedgehog, you ignorant human. Shadow yelled in pain. And I'm not just a thing. I have a name and feelings, so just leave me alone. He hissed in pain. He had twisted his ankle. Monica, didn't you learn first aid in fat camp? Rhea Chandler said, slightly jokingly. Monica huffed and went over to him to see how bad he was hurt. Get away from me, he growled. I'm trying to help you, Monica said, sounding frustrated. Shadow just pulled away. No, it hurts. Don't touch it, he snapped. He sighed. Fine, he said, cringing. He was taken inside her apartment so she could look at it better. This sentence structure is really horrible. You need to rest this, she said. Wait. No, I gotta keep moving. I have nowhere to go, Shadow moaned. If he has nowhere to go, why does he gotta keep moving? You can stay here until it heals, then, she said. Yeah, he's gotta go fast, she said. Rachel looked at her in disgust. But it's a thing, she said. What if he gets near Emma? She gasped. Emma! She screamed and ran across the hallway into her and Joey's apartment. Shadow lay down on the sofa looking stressed. Thanks for this. And just so she knows, I'm not fleeter than or anything. I'm just as clean as you humans are, he said, referring to Rachel. Mind if I just take a nap, he said. He's suddenly very friendly. Go on. We all need to get back to bed anyway. Sleep tight, Monica said, looking down on him. They all went back to bed. In the morning, Monica to see Shadow walking towards the door. It looked like he was leaving. Where do you think you're going on that bad foot? Monica said sternly. Shadow turned back around reluctantly. I'm all better? I'm all better as a question. Yes, Shadow cringed. No, you're not. You're limping, she said. She took him back over to the sofa. Fuck the sentence structure. Now I'm going to make you breakfast. I think I can do that myself, Shadow said. No, you're the guest and I'm the host, she smiled. Chandler came out of the bedroom. Don't worry, she's like this, everyone. You'll get used to it, he said to Shadow. Shadow sighed. His foot felt a lot better, and he just wanted to get out of here. But this crazy woman he hardly knew wanted him to stay. He's the ultimate life form. Just why can't he just go? Don't worry, she's like this. You know, I feel really awkward, Shadow started to say. I don't know any of your names. I'm Monica, Monica said. Obviously Chandler wouldn't say it. It's under an author's note. This is an author's note. Is that supposed to be funny?
Oh, it's so meta. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Chandler introduced himself the same. And over the hall, Anne, are some of our friends. Rachel was the girl who thought you were some disgusting animal. And Joey was the one who picked you up. Shadow just huffed even more. I'm sure they meant no harm, though, she smiled. Yeah, you're not exactly the average hedgehog. I like how we can identify him as a hedgehog. I wouldn't be able to do that looking at Shadow. Wait, do you think he's like an actual hedgehog with just black stripes?
Or he is black with red stripes? Apparently the size of an actual hedgehog, so I'm assuming yes.
I don't like your tone, he said. It's like everything is a joke to you, Shadow said in a dark tone.
So this person writing it knows about 5 adjectives.
Yeah. Chandler stepped back a bit. Shadow wasn't looking very friendly at that moment. As they had breakfast, another woman came in. Hey guys, demon, she screamed. Phoebe, he's not a demon, he's a hedgehog, Monica said. Apparently, Chandler added. Shadow growled at him, then narrowed his eyes at Phoebe. Any more of your friends I need to look out for? Shadow said. He sounded annoyed. Oh, my brother. You'll probably see him today, Monica said. Shadow started to look shifty. What's wrong? I gotta go, he said, looking embarrassed. She pointed to the bathroom and he limped over to it. What is even the plot of this?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I think it has a plot.
Just continue.
Yeah, I have a question. Why does everyone come here? Shadow asked. It's a bit rude, and none of you knock. You just barge in, right on cue. Joey came in without knocking. He's still here, Joey said, pointing to him, looking quite shocked. Why? Well, you kept a chick and a duck before. Why can't he stay? He's a lot cleaner and lot more polite than them too, Monica boasted. You're not classing me as a pet, are you? Shadow said, finishing off his toast and bacon. No, she said nervously. It's just you're so animal-like. Shadow, I'm sorry. I think I'll go now, Shadow said. My foot feels a lot better now. I guess I just needed some food. He got up. His foot still hurt, though. He hissed with pain. See, it's all better. Shadow cringed and sat back down again. Lie down again, Monica told him. Shadow limped over to the sofa. In fact, I think you should go into the guest room. She pointed over to the room. No, no need. I won't be here for much longer, Shadow said, lying down on the sofa. He fell asleep again. When he woke up, everyone was still there. He looked at the clock. It was 6 o'clock on the evening. You're all still here, Shadow asked groggily. No, we've all gone to work, and now we're back, Monica said. You're quite a heavy sleeper, Shadow nodded. Rachel was now there too, with her baby. Oh, so it's her baby, yeah. Mystery solved. No, I feel a lot better, so I'm gonna go, Shadow said for like the 6th, 7th time. He got up. His foot was now a lot better. Don't you want to have something to eat before you go? She asked. Shadow sighed. He noticed that they were all sitting down to eat. Smelling the food, he became hungry, he joined them. Why does everybody come here? Shadow asked again. Why does everybody come here?
That's a legitimate question, I think.
Yeah, that's a question about fanfiction.net. "Curious about me," he said, grabbing the plate Monica gave him. He sat down in the little space left and started to eat. "Well, I'll tell you more about me then." So Shadow told them the story of how he came into existence, and by the time it was finished, it was past 10 o'clock at night.
What?
I think I...
What, when a mummy hedgehog and a daddy hedgehog? Did he tell that one?
No.
He is a clone or some shit.
He's like a clone of Sonic.
Learned Sonic.
No.
Yeah, you don't know anything about Sonic lore, Catsman.
Listen to him with this bullshit Sonic backstory for 4 hours.
Okay, yeah. "Fine," he sighed. Everyone left to go to their homes, and Monica and Chandler went to bed. Another night went by, and in the morning, Shadow's ankle was fully recovered. "I'm gonna leave now. Thank you," Shadow said to them. "I've stayed long enough. Thanks," he said, and headed for the door. "And if you ever need us, just come. We won't mind," Monica said. Shadow nodded and left. After this, life went back to normal, and they seemed to forget about Shadow. They didn't talk about him as much as anyone would, though it was strange. They didn't make a big deal out of it. So it was all back to normal again, and Shadow went back to his own business. Very brief, I know, but hope you enjoyed it. Please review, please. Lucy Labrador.
Wow.
So,
10 out of 10. That was amazing. Can I just say, right, is this a story about, like, being a guest at someone's house, and you feel obligated to, enjoy their hospitality, but you really want to leave, and they don't seem to understand that you really want to leave, and they keep inviting you to do things, and actually you just want to go home.
Yeah, it's a very awkward tone over it.
It was just, that's what this was about. There was no three acts, there was no conflict, it was just about... why? What was the point of it? It
didn't turn out to be an erotic fanfiction, I'll admit.
Yeah, I
wanted next time we're going to have an erotic fanfiction.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Okay, so what have you guys learned from this fanfiction here?
I have learned that, that's about it.
Looking at the comments, that fanfiction.net is very bad. One of them says, "Awesome crossover! Loved when Phoebe freaked out, smiley face."
She did for like one... She literally said one word, that was a freak out. She said, "Demon!" Then she calmed down. Wasn't much of a...
I think it was an expertly pulled off narrative flourish, personally.
Oh yeah.
I think if you didn't enjoy that fanfiction, if you're listening to this, then clearly you're just an unsophisticated plebeian man who can't appreciate art.
Well, what I've learned is that the ultimate life form, if he slips, he would have to rest for 3 days before he can recover from the horrible injury.
Well,
all right, so
that's that ugliness
that's,
out
that's,
of the way.
That's it. I'll find something even worse for next time. Something more eventful,
good.
Too.
Does anyone have any other business that they would like to bring up? I should just point out at this point, if you send me an email to my personal email at comeatmebro.co.uk, or
so hardcore.
If you post a comment on the post for this podcast, we'll get around and we'll, if you have questions or talking points that you'd like to talk about at this point, we'll answer the next podcast. But does anyone have anything that they would like us to bring up now?
Karaoke podcast.
I've tried karaoke in Mumble, just doesn't work.
Yeah, we don't,
go in synchronization. It's just horrible.
There's one thing I want to bring up. It's, you know the new Street Fighter vs. X Tekken? Well, Capcom has developed it, and they've had two characters, Pac-Man and Mega Man.
I love that Pac-Man's in a fighting game.
But
here's
the interesting thing.
They
put in Mega Man, but it's not the Mega Man we know. It's bad cover art Mega Man. It's almost as a big fuck you to the Mega Man fans.
I love it, to be honest.
They're like, yeah, so you want more Mega Man? Here you go. Bad artwork, Mega Man.
It's like the Dan of the game.
He looks amazing. I'm completely okay with that.
I love how his helmet decal is lopsided.
God damn, that's horrible.
So, I feel so bad for Mega Man fans.
So yeah, the question is this just like a big screw you to Mega Man fans?
Yes,
it, like...
that's all it is.
Yeah. Yasune gave it his blessing, though. He said it was really funny, so...
I don't care. I love it. I'm a huge Mega Man fanboy. That's absolutely fine with me. I'm just sad that we didn't get to play another Mega Man game as bad cover art, man, personally.
Yeah.
There was going to be Mega Man Universe with it, but yeah, that got cancelled.
Right. That's pretty much the end of it then. Thank you all for participating in this 39th annual podcast of ours. Obviously, it's going to go up on the website at some point, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, depends how long it takes to edit. Next podcast we'll record again in a month, I think. And
what?
Unless
I thought we were doing it like weekly.
Weekly? I was good. Yes. If it's enough to be weekly, yeah.
We're not that dedicated.
Yeah, well, if it's a dedicated. Slow news week.
Yeah, I think we should keep it weekly as first and then make it more often if it becomes. Like more popular.
If there's something like E3 or something going, maybe we might do like a side one that's an extra one or something. You know.
That actually sounds like a good idea.
But overall, I think monthly might be fine.
Okay. So yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for participating. Come back here in a month. And in shameless plug, visit lunchtime.org.uk for live streaming content featuring these people and more. Thanks everybody, and I'm pressing the stop record button now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yay. Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.